And good morning to everyone. Our first case of the day is State versus Munoz, excuse me. And we will begin by introductions of members of the court. I am Mike Hevigan, the Chief Justice, and now by seniority as to service on the court, the other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. This is Justice Miller Lerman.
William Castle. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie Stacey.
Good morning, Jeff Funk.
Jonathan Papik. Good morning.
John Frankenberg.
And Mr. Liss, we did all of that for you. You are here today. Do you have any questions before you begin? Good. We appreciate if you wear your mask when you're not presenting, but when you are presenting, we would appreciate it if you take your mask off so that we can hear and understand what you have to say. With that, you may approach and you may proceed.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Nathan Liss, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the appellee, the state of Nebraska. Munoz is appealing from the denial of his motion for post-conviction relief, which contains claims of ineffective assistance of trial and appellate counsel. The state maintains that his post-conviction motion was properly denied without an evidentiary hearing. As far as his trial counsel claims, as set forth in our brief, all of those claims are procedurally barred since he had new counsel on direct appeal and could have raised all those claims but did not. So they are all barred and not properly before this court. As far as his appellate counsel claims, as noted in our brief, Mr. Munoz's brief to this court does not assign and argue all of the appellate counsel claims that were in his post-conviction motion. He readvances only three appellate counsel claims, so those are the only claims that are properly before this court and the only ones that we have addressed. We maintain that all three claims properly denied without an evidentiary hearing. I will briefly walk through each of those three claims unless this court wants me to forego any analysis on any of those. I can certainly do so. I don't want to regurgitate my brief and tell you what you already know. Just taking them one at a time, I'll be as brief as possible. As far as the first claim regarding appellate counsel's failure to raise a claim regarding the trial court's ruling on the motion in limine, we maintain this claim was insufficiently alleged and refuted by the record. It's insufficiently alleged in our view because Munoz's post-conviction motion nor his appellate brief make any provide any details about the substance of that motion, how the district court ruled on it, or how it would have changed.
Was there a motion in limine filed?
I'm sorry?
Was there a motion in limine filed prior to the trial?
There, based on my review of the record, there was only one motion in limine filed and it was granted. So our alternative argument here is that the record refutes this claim because there was no basis for appellate counsel to raise this claim on direct appeal, given that there was only one motion in limine and it was granted. There was no reason to raise the claim at all on direct appeal. He doesn't provide any details about what, if there was some other motion to eliminate, what it was or what the court's ruling was or what, you know, why it would have mattered. So I don't think the claim is sufficiently alleged either. But for either or both of those reasons, we would maintain that it was properly denied without an evidentiary hearing. Moving on to appellate counsel's failure to raise a claim about trial counsel's failure to interview witnesses and pursue an alibi. We maintain this claim is also insufficiently alleged and refuted by the record. It's insufficiently alleged in our view because Munoz has failed to set forth any specific information about the witnesses in question, let alone that they would have provided information about an alibi. This claim falls right in line with the alibi claim that was rejected as being insufficiently alleged in State v. Dalvin. Munoz's allegations are similarly deficient.
In any motion for post-conviction relief, what should a defendant include in the motion to necessitate an evidentiary hearing on an alibi?
With respect to an alibi? Yeah. Well, I mean, the components of an alibi, I mean, the overarching principle is just that it creates whatever evidence you would adduce would create a physical impossibility that you committed the crime, namely that you were in some other location at the time and literally could not have committed the crime. And we have some.
Did Mr. Munoz include details like where he was, what the alibi is?
No, he kind of combines the claim of failing to interview witnesses with his claim of alibi and suggests, at least with respect to one witness, that he could have provided information about his desire to travel out of state around the time of the homicide, basically showing that he didn't flee after the fact as a result of the homicide or as evidence of guilt, but rather that he had already been planning to leave, but he didn't leave until the day after the homicide. So as we've noted in our brief, even if those allegations could be shown to have been true, they don't establish an alibi. They just provide an alternative basis for why he may have left the day afterward. So to the extent of what you'd need to allege, I think it would need to be the physical impossibility of committing the crime, and his allegations, even if shown to be true, don't get us there. So we would submit that that claim is insufficiently alleged and refuted by the record as well. With respect to the third and final claim regarding appellate counsel's failure to raise a claim about trial counsel's failure to obtain an expert witness, we maintain this claim is insufficiently alleged. Mr. Munoz has failed to set forth any specific information about who his DNA expert would have been, what their specific testimony would have been, or how it would have impacted the trial. His claim, to me, falls right in line with the DNA expert claim that this court rejected as being insufficiently alleged in State v. Watson. Mr. Munoz's allegations are similarly deficient in this case, so we submit that claim was properly denied without an evidentiary hearing as well. In sum, we submit that all of Munoz's post-conviction claims are procedurally barred, insufficiently alleged, or refuted by the record, and were therefore all properly denied without an evidentiary hearing. There are no further questions. We would ask that you affirm the judgment of the district. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments in State versus Munoz, and the court will proceed to, yes, please leave by the side door. Thank you.